Have you guys listened to our intro, like to Dramatic Catholic?
Yeah.
If you could remix it, how would you do it?
Oh no.
Why don't you guys come up with something to send it to us?
Make you a theme song?
Do like a little like,
a jingle, like yeah. a little dude. I don't know how I like I would take.
I like it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you guys, I like it too.
You made it, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I tried to have multiple people. They just tried to help me. Father Andrew tried. We'll just say that.
Do you still have them?
I do have a version of his.
Oh,
I like the little jingles that you use to transition between topics.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Garage, do you get our vibe though?
What is the vibe?
What do you mean? Is that like
what's our theme? Like, do you feel our theme?
The theme
of dramatic.
Is it an aesthetic?
Yeah.
Is it an aesthetic of its own?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
You hesitated.
Well, I needed to understand the question a little better. Sorry, I have a delay.
Okay.
Eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
Dramatic.
So dramatic.
It's so dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves.
Go ahead, ma'am. Kick it off.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Welcome back to...
Dramatic Catholics.
Chilo.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Sorry, I didn't know we were recording. I thought you were asking us about prayer. Because he took his hat off.
Oh. That's what I understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, we're going to start prayer now. No, yeah. We'll start prayer right now.
Yeah.
But welcome back, guys. We're back and better than ever.
Yeah, we're really excited for this episode.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. No,
yeah,
sorry.
I'm just excited. You know?
I know.
We just have, I guess, two special guests or whatever.
Very special.
Yeah.
I would say.
Question,
you.
Do people tell you to be humble? Has anyone ever told you guys that? Like,
ever? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, ever told me that? Yeah.
My brother has told me to be humble.
Interesting. You know, because you guys are like, you know, no. So it's like, do you have haters is what I'm trying to ask you.
I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
Dang.
Yes.
I wouldn't think that.
I wouldn't think that either.
Yeah. But to give them a little bit of an introduction, so we have two people on tonight, two guests. We have Chilo Salinas and Jeremiah Salinas.
What up?
Hey. To give some background on the both of them, they grew up here doing youth ministry starting in what year?
Me? Were you here? Started in 2011.
Wow.
Youth ministry.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're here earlier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like... Not way earlier than that, bro. We're probably like, yeah, maybe a little earlier.
Dang. I was 5.
Okay.
Yeah, or 7. In 06, I was 7. Yeah. Crazy.
And you were being born?
No, I was born 2002, Jeremiah. I was like...
You were being born?
2006, I was...
4.
3.
But Chilo's at STA. How long have you been there?
I've been there for 2 years at St. Thomas Aquinas. Yep.
So St. Thomas Aquinas. And you do?
I am the youth minister.
Nice. We love that. And Chilo was my youth minister. Shout out. And Jeremiah, you were involved more recently at JP2, right? Is that
Yeah.
Like,
okay. So we both coached there. We were both varsity soccer coaches.
Nice.
Chilo had the girls. I had the guys. But I have a secular job. I do. I run fiber optic cables for Aspen Technologies. So we're building the. If any of you community members live out on Litchfield and MC85, there's a new Microsoft data center being built there, and that's what we're working on
right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're excited to have you both on.
Thank you.
And we would like to invite. I don't know if you want to divvy it up. One do opening prayer, one of you do closing prayer. We usually have our guests lead us in that. So if you're down.
I'll do opening prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mind.
He said, I'm older. I have seniority.
Story of my life.
Yeah. So we just like go in? We
just
like
you start? Just start in, yeah.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and loving Father, we just thank you for this moment. Thank you for everyone who's listening. We thank you for gathering us, Lord, for this podcast that was started, Lord. We just ask so you would be in that conversation, that it would be fruitful and beneficial for your kingdom. And we give you, God, all the glory and all the praise, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Father, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
And this is the second time we have you guys on, because the first, we did try to have Jeremiah and Chilo on about a month ago, maybe?
No, it was like late February.
Was it really? Yeah, it was a fat minute ago, guys. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah. Long story short, our technology just failed us. And yeah, so we're here now.
For the first time ever.
For the first time. So thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Before you came in, we were talking about what song lyrics like really hit home with us right now in a praise and worship song.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's so many, dude, for me, but I think right now I would say a song that my sister sings really well, Belen, it's called I Speak Jesus. And in the bridge, it says, there's a line that says, Jesus for my family. Mm-hmm. And I think that line is, whenever we get to that, whenever we get there, that line, it just, it makes me emotional, because I feel like it's in, like, because when I believe it and I pray it, right, over my family, and I want to speak Jesus' name over my family, specifically my wife and kids, but also like my extended family, like my brother and everyone. And but then like I also see it in the people in the room when we get there, like people like really seem to like lean in a little bit more during that line. I mean, whose family doesn't need Jesus, right? So
yeah,
I mean, I would say right now, that whole song in general is just one of my favorites currently. Mm. But that line specifically would be one of the ones that do a little damage to me in a good way. You know what I'm saying?
He said that good damage. That
you
good
know
damage.
What I'm saying? Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
That song's been on repeat for me too.
Yeah.
I Speak Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, she had mentioned it before.
That line too. At the world,
yeah,
didn't
it did. Because that part that you said, like, was it for my family?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I sang that like there was no tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I felt that like my family isn't
right
practicing Catholics, I think, except for like me and my dad.
Uh-huh.
But like for everybody else, like I really thought of like my extended family. Yeah. Like my family needs Jesus.
Everyone, yeah, exactly.
And then also I like the, is that the bridge? Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus in the streets.
Jesus in the streets?
Jesus. I can't. Ooh, nah, I wouldn't get copyright. We're not singing it.
Yeah, that's what's tough. We're talking about praise and worship, but we can't really like sing.
I know.
The
I want
to sing song.
It.
Yeah. What about you, Jeremiah?
You know, at the well, we recently sang, we sing this song a lot, or at least I'll speak for myself, saying that this song comes up pretty frequently, even when I'm doing worship by myself. But we sang No Longer Slaves that same night for the well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, It aligned perfectly with the Gospels for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that bridge gets me every time, especially when we really get people behind it singing those O's that build up to the bridge, mm-hmm. right? Sings, you split the seas so I could walk right through it.
Yeah.
My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
So sometimes it becomes just another bridge, but that one brought me a lot of freedom. It kind of set me free again, like it has before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I went back to it, and I don't know about you, Chilo, but I listened to the live like after the well's over.
I usually do the next day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to like relive it.
Yeah, I wake up and like still like I'm like living off of the graces of the night before, and then I'll usually play it in I don't know if we're in
do
the
you
car
guys
going somewhere or something like that. Every holy hour we record it and it goes on our IG.
You should send it. Oh, the lives.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like was the
all
same
like
thing.
A whole production.
The same thing. I'm sorry, guys.
Like we do like live. Song recording, like
I thought it was like voice memos.
Did we put out like live albums every single day?
Yeah, like specific like voice memos on like the
would
app.
Be cool.
So I was about to say, send it my way. Like, there's my worship for the morning.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know, I've actually thought about doing that
dude,
before.
Dude,
you should.
When I first saw you three more, when I was in middle school, like those songs that you guys would play.
Yeah.
I thought those were your guys' songs.
I wish.
Like,
so you're like looking up three more on Apple.
Yeah, so I would go on YouTube. I went on YouTube after the eighth grade retreat. I think it was like a freshman too, like at one of the retreats. I didn't realize that those weren't your guys' songs until like I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, it took me a while. But I couldn't find anything like on YouTube. Or like, I don't remember. I think I was on Spotify, like three more band. Nothing popped up. And I was like, where are their songs? I know. I was like,
can you guys tell us about three more?
Oh yeah. Just dropped it.
Yeah, what do you want to know? Everything?
What? Everything. Why? What?
Who? What, where?
Who,
when?
Who came
what,
up with the name? What does the name mean?
Maybe your upcoming first here at St. John Vianney.
Yeah.
That led to three more.
Okay.
I like that better. Yeah.
Well, we grew up with worship our whole life. My father is a worship leader himself. He did it more so for like the Spanish, like we sang a lot of stuff in Spanish, and so I grew up drumming for him. Jeremiah grew up playing the bass for him. Ever since we could learn how to do that, my dad was just had us really involved, so we grew up playing music with him. And then when I was about 15 years old, I learned how to play guitar. He taught me how to play guitar. And I started coming to, I met Stephanie, my wife, and she invited me to youth group here at St. John Vianney. And at that time, I wasn't involved. And I remember because I liked Stephanie, I wanted to be around her more. Yeah, shout out. I wanted to be around her more. And so I applied for the core team when I was like 16, and I remember at my youth minister at the time, Matt, he was like, what can you bring to the table? And I was like, I play guitar, bro. Like I could like, we could do like some live music if you want. Again, I had no experience though in leading worship. Like I just always drummed and would cover like secular songs all the time. But again, it was like, I felt like it was the one, because when I was coming to youth group at the time, we were actually listening to praise and worship through a boombox.
Yeah.
Like
a what?
It was a CD. It was like Christian hits, yeah. Wow, or whatever it's called, and like a CD, and we would put it in a boombox, hit play, and we would listen to it like that, and like clap along
to it
while someone was scrolling through a word document. Okay, projected a word document with the lyrics. Wow. And we would just like that. That's how we worship though. And
that's crazy.
I was like, man, I could do that, but without the boombox, we could do this live, bro. Mm. So Matt brought me on board at 16, and he sent me a couple songs that he wanted me to learn, like a couple worship songs, because I didn't know a lot of English worship songs. And I remember, like, I started to do it at youth group by myself, and then I had this like eureka moment and was like, wait a minute,
what is that?
You know, like, what eureka means, bro?
It's like a epiphany.
Yeah, type. Yeah.
Like revelation.
Is that like another language?
A what?
Another language? I mean,
no, it's like a word in the dictionary. I'm weak. Anyways.
Yeah.
You had a eureka moment.
Esme's eureka moment right now. But yeah.
Sorry.
So I was like, wait, I actually have siblings who do this too.
Yeah.
And I was like, Matt, can I bring my 13-year-old brother to youth group? Aww. He plays bass. And my 14-year-old sister, Belen, who sings. And we could just like do this.
Dang.
With like three singers and like a bass. Let's add another element. And Matt was like, let's do it, bro. Like, whatever, right? And so Jeremiah started coming with me, and Belen started coming with me to youth group just for the sake of leading worship. Whatever that meant at the time. We had no idea what we were doing again. We were just singing songs. But we had no idea. What we thought, we were just singing songs, but really, like, the Lord was already working on something and planting something here at that time that we had no idea about. And then we had a retreat coming up that was actually called the Three More Retreat. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be if we had a full band for this retreat? And one of my best friends, named Renee Sanchez, played the guitar, and we asked him to come play for the retreat with us so we could have another guitarist. There was another leader here at the time by the name of Nathan Ashlock, who played piano, and we asked him to come play and practice with us. And then the last piece of the band was a drummer. And we grew up with our brother, really, named Ruben. And he slid into my DMs because he saw a picture of us leading worship at GCU, like out in the lawn, random.
Wow.
Out in the lawn, I remember. In the lawn at GCU. A picture of it got uploaded onto Facebook, and we were on Facebook at the time. And Ruben was like, I noticed you don't have a drummer. Don't forget that I drum, bro. Like, let me slide through and drum. And I was like, bro, in 2 weeks, we're going on a retreat. Come pull up to this practice.
2 weeks before?
Mm-hmm. I was like, come pull up
so
to this
doable.
Practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we're practicing, bro, like tomorrow, like pull up at SJV. And he did. And And then that's kind of, the rest was history. I mean, eventually Renee graduated and he went a different route. Nathan took off to Flagstaff, so we added more pieces. Carlos Santana Rodriguez, little 14-year-old at the time, who is now Belen's husband and my brother, and Kevin Balderrama, who we also added a little later on, and Sarah Herrera, now Geenan, who took over our keys for us. And the Lord, you know, the Lord kind of just, he took us places and blessed the ministry in a really wild way. And those were one of my favorite times of my life. I know I'll never forget the Three More era for me and my brother.
Three More era. Praise God for the Three More era.
Yeah.
No, seriously, yeah.
No, honestly.
Like, all glory to God for
Sure.
8 years.
That's 8 years strong.
So was it Three More retreat? Where did you guys get Three More?
Okay, yeah. So a lot of people, it's funny because like a lot of people thought we just named it that because it was because it was me, Jeremiah, and my sister, Belen.
Yeah.
And then we added three more people. So, like, it was Renee, Nathan, and Ruben. So a lot of people were like, are you guys Three More because you added three more people to your group? And that was honestly something that a lot of people thought. Huh.
Or they'd be confused by the 3MB. We get like 3 megabytes.
Yeah, it was weird. Bro, it was the weirdest thing.
3 megabytes.
But so Saint John Vianney himself, like the saint himself, the man, when he was walking here on earth, right?
Man.
Was a really holy priest. And it said that that the devil actually like appeared to him once and told him that if there were three more of him on earth, hell would have been destroyed. Like, that's how holy Saint John Vianney was. And so like the whole idea of this retreat named Three More was, can he say that about you? Like, are we striving for that level of holiness that the devil would be that scared of three of you walking on earth? You know what I'm saying?
Noted.
And that's so
can we bring that back?
So given that was the name of the retreat, given that we were from Saint John Vianney, which is the obviously the saint who we're talking about, and then given that it was the first time we had a band anywhere, we decided to take the name Three More. And that's how
just
it happened.
Just put Ben at the end?
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Anyways, Three More.
You know how Chance had his hat, Chance the Rapper?
Yeah. The three on it?
I thought that was your guy.
Did we get a chance to wear a 3MB?
Before I thought, like, when I saw people wearing those, I thought they were your guys' merch.
Dang, Chance the Rapper?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, Chance the Rapper.
So, Chance,
you know,
if you're
no Three More merch band.
You have no Three More merch.
No. Like, I remember when you guys would sell the Windbreakers. I couldn't buy it because I was broke. They have money. But I would come to, like, Shakedown and, like, couldn't get it.
Yeah, that stuff is, like, Three
That's
More
like
was,
iconic.
Like, it was iconic. Yeah. It is iconic.
If you have merch have, like, that you merch don't wear anymore, hit me up. I will buy it from you.
Did you have their, you guys had a CD.
Yeah,
you
we
had
did.
An EP.
We released an EP.
Yeah.
5 songs, yeah. Original. Those were originals.
My sister took it. Like, she borrowed, like, she took it to listen to it, and it got stuck in her car radio. Never got it out.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so then she sold it, and so.
So somebody has.
So somebody has your EP.
They're just loops.
Yeah.
Plan, you know?
Hey, I guess. I mean, he needs to. Yeah. Tragic. But yeah, no, Three More really meant a lot to so many people. here growing up.
Yeah.
We were really spoiled. I say I don't really listen to praise and worship, but I think it's because I grew up, that was my first exposure to praise and worship was Three More Band. So like listening to that live and like being drawn in that way, I was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. So whenever I heard like regular praise and worship, it wasn't the same, you know? So it's like kind of hard for me to listen to it because I'm like, this is, you know, spoiled mentality, but.
No, yeah, to God be all the glory that, you know, it was his plan that it came to an end when it did, you know, may God rest Ruben's soul. But like Chilo said, those memories, I think about them all the time, you know, and I actually put a hat on today that Ruben gave to me and I had a little moment, right? And was thinking about him actually on the way here and was thinking about how like all these memories that we've had together, I don't take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, 8 years, dude.
Yeah.
8 years.
Three More got established in 2012.
Yeah.
And so literally from then to COVID, like we just ran with each other, you know, whatever the Lord wanted to throw our way. And it was,
we definitely thought about Ruben. So for context, Ruben was your guys' drummer and he passed during COVID. We don't have a band since Three More, but over this, this was the first time on retreat where we had our own like different little band.
Yeah. So Brian and
there, we have an up and coming band.
Yeah. Brian and Panda, they're on the come up.
They're
trying for them guys. Yeah. And it's just crazy to see like the,
to see that. And like you mentoring Brian has been like crazy. Instead of Steph, like I had to learn how to like do lyrics and stuff, and then seeing Panda was really close to Ruben, and so like seeing him like on the cajon like was Ruben was definitely
there,
he was
for
there
sure.
100% and beautiful. Specifically in Minga's in that room, specifically
I
was not okay. I was like, dude, like it's so crazy to be back up here, obviously different but still the same, like
the spirit's there.
Yeah, God's so good.
Yeah,
he's so good. He's like so present.
If those walls could talk.
Yeah, literally. If the tears like on the floor could talk, like 15-year-old me.
Same.
But you guys, I know for sure that God is working through your guys' ministry, and we'll get to the well soon. But man, those 8 years. I mean, I wasn't there till 2012. Came a little later, but.
We came in your prime.
I was in eighth grade, so that was like 2015.
Okay.
So you guys were like 3 years in?
Yeah.
Oh, I was still in the beginning, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the three again.
Yeah, I know. Every time we're like,
oh, yeah.
It's just a thing. Every time we're like, hey, how many is left of something, whatever? And they're like, oh, there's three more left. And everybody just stops and looks up and still says, three more.
All the time.
They're like, how many?
Three more.
Yeah,
three more.
No, but honestly, it really is like the coolest thing though, guys. Like, I think about those moments all the time. And now that I have like kids, and like, I'll show them videos of like us like playing. It's the craziest feeling in the world.
Like, is it weird? Like, oh my, I'm showing you videos where like I was...
Yeah.
How old are you?
Yeah, like, I mean, when I was 17 when the band started. And now I'm 30. So, you know, it was,
You're 30?
I'm 30.
You're 30?
I'm 30, yo. That's wild, huh?
That's crazy.
I know, dude, I'm 30.
Bro.
So, yeah, I mean, it's cool. And it's actually really cool. Like, there's actually some people that still... or randomly like run into that like, dude, this happened to me the other day. I was at the gas station on Jackrabbit and Van Buren over in Buckeye at Circle K, and I'm standing
middle of
gas
nowhere
in my truck, and this guy walks across the gas pump, like across like everything, and he's like walking to me. He goes, hey, are you Chilo who was in Three More? And I was like, wow. Yeah, bro, it was like years ago. What's up? And he was, so like it's random, dude. Sometimes I'll see people with the shirt like just rocking around, like it's just it. And it, I love you, like I love anytime I get the opportunity to talk about Three More, because like I said, it was such a special moment in my life that I'll never get tired of sharing about.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
time, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. It's like a, yeah. It's,
it just was iconic. And we sit here today.
I know. With 30 old Chilo.
Okay. How far are you guys apart?
Yeah.
3 years. Yeah, 3 years.
So you're 27?
Yeah, three, huh?
That's crazy. Three?
Three.
Oh, my.
How many years?
Yeah.
But you mentioned how you show your kids now. Do you show your kids? Are they old enough to
Kind of.
What's your daughter's name?
Sammy. Samantha.
Sammy. Yeah. Samantha. Oh, yeah. She's just little. She's baby.
Well, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, she's 5 months. So, but she loves, like, when I have the guitar and I'm playing at home. Sorry, I'll get closer. Sorry.
Oh, you good?
She loves when we have the guitar and I'm maybe, like, practicing for a mass or making a song or, you know, sending it to you Saturday night. Oh, but, and I think Dom, too, he... Ruben is his Nino.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a particular like interest in the drums.
Oh.
So it's like no coincidence there, but I don't know. I think it's in our genes for our kids to be kind of keen to music.
Yeah.
And it's in their blood. You know, I already think that cuz like my sister's kids sing well already and they're like 7 and 8.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, sharing our music with them, especially like in the car, is so cool. Dom has like his favorite worship song, and it's like a little upbeat TikTok worship song, you know? So, yeah.
I would say you guys are one of the good examples of a domestic church, right? You guys are living out your vocations, and God has called you both to marriage. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your wives, your children, and how that's been for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, the era you'll be forever.
And, like, what a domestic church means, like, to you. Like, people don't really know, like, this concept.
Like, how do you live that out?
Of domestic church.
Okay, well, one, I'm happily married to Val. If you guys listen to...
Hey, Val.
We've mentioned her in Delilah's, the past.
Yeah, to Delilah's episode, she mentioned that she was one of the first people she met here at youth group.
Yeah.
So I'm married to Val. We're going on... Actually, next week is our anniversary. So we'll be married for 4 years.
Wow, that happened quick.
You guys got married during COVID, huh?
Yeah, we had a COVID wedding.
You guys were the first one to get married in the church, no?
First mass in the newly renovated church. Mm-hmm. Before there was a daily mass or a Sunday mass. There was a wedding mass, and it was mine and Val's.
And it was
mine. Yeah, I'll claim that for the rest of my life, you know? Yeah, married 4 years. We've got two kids. Dom is 3. Sammy is 5 months. Mm. I'm very much so in love. I am happy and very joyful in my life. I'm so excited to come home and see them. And yeah, I think that the domestic church really starts at home. The evangelization, mm-hmm. the upbringing and cultivating of the new generation starts at home, you know? And there's such a responsibility I see as a dad to not only set an example for my family, but also take leadership of my family and make the decision that, you know, scripture says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as for me and my family, you will catch us at mass every Sunday. You know, you will, not that you will see us, but you will hopefully see that we are a prayerful family.
You'll hear my babies.
Yeah. You'll hear my babies scream.
Oh, you'll hear mine for sure.
You know, a lot of it starts with me and Val. You know, if I'm not leading Val to Jesus, then I'm not being the husband that I'm called to be. Not to say that that's an easy thing to do, but she's my, you know, she comes before Dom and Sam. Mm-hmm. So there's like this, if I can't tell you about my relationship with Jesus and you can't tell me about your relationship with Jesus, or even sometimes the lack thereof, then there's no point in me going out to the well and sharing Jesus with other people if I can't do it in my own home.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. I think that's well said. Yeah. And I think that's why we wanted to, I mean, we've had like a talk on marriage, like Steph talked a little bit about marriage, but it is definitely different coming from a man's perspective. And I mean, the hope is like we have male viewers too, but like that's something that's really important and hard in like today's society, is like men, one, like being vocal about these things and being vulnerable, but being able to share like what that looks like, you know, at home, because it does, like, you do have a vital role as a man. Yeah, raising like a daughter and a son. What does that look like for you? Domestic church.
Not too different than what he shared. I think we come from the same dad, so in the same house, and so we grew up with the same example of my father. And I think my dad, I think he deserves, I mean, both of my parents, but specifically my dad, man, I'm giving him his flowers. He literally, like, we were blessed with an amazing set of parents, but a lot of people can't say they were blessed with like an amazing, faithful, Christ like fearing man of a dad. And I know I'm very blessed to be one of the few, maybe, to say that, or I don't know, you know. But for me, obviously, so I'm married to Stephanie Salinas, and this month as well we'll be 8 years married, and so we have 4 kids together, just double whatever he has. That's me and Steph. Yeah, he's hitting 4, I'm hitting 8. He has 2, I have 4. So like, we'll just double that.
You guys are 3 years apart.
Yeah. And honestly, like, being married to Stephanie is, and I know you're gonna be listening to this stuff, so don't you know what I'm saying? Like, being married to Stephanie is the best decision I've ever made in my life, and at the same time, very challenging because of how holy she is on her own. And so she holds me to a standard that is like challenging, but like in a good way, right? Like, if you're not challenging your spouse to be better consistently, like, and at the same time, like, holier and trying to be closer to the Lord on a daily, like, basis, like, then, you know, you should start, right? And so, like, being her husband is so good for me, because I know she has her own relationship with the Lord outside of me, but I also know that I'm called to have my own outside of her, but at the same time, lead her to him. And as well as our kids, right? And so, like, I'm not gonna lie, I fail at that here and there, but it's so good when you have a spouse who, like I said, she holds me to this, like, she holds me to what I'm called to, in a good way, right? Like, I don't want that to have any kind of negative light on that, because it's not that at all. And it's not like she throws it in my face. It's just like she is constantly like reminding me through her own personal strive of what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there was like a statistic. I've seen or read statistics somewhere saying that like if the dad's leading the family, like the family will stay Catholic.
70% around that time, yeah. Around that percentage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's coming from the dad, like,
yeah,
the majority of the time, or I guess 70% of the time.
Don't quote me on that.
We're quoting Esme on this. No. 70% of the time.
Around that number.
The families and the kids usually stay faithful. And if the dad's not leading or leading by that example or in the picture like that, then it's obviously less than that. But
no, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 30%.
Yeah. No facts, right? It's pretty drastic. So yeah, all of that is just very humbling to know that the Lord even gives us that kind of role, gives us that kind of duty to try to live and uphold. So yeah.
What about in singleness? How did you like prepare for like your vocation, like ahead of, like in terms of prayer? Because like you said, you do still have to have your own personal relationship with Jesus outside of like your spouse. So what's something you did while you were single to kind of prepare for that and making sure like you're doing what you need to do, you know?
Yeah.
To prepare for your future family.
I would say for me, during that time frame, I was seeking out other men who were married and like just talking their ear off and like trying to get advice and trying to get any kind of, you know, tips and like and how to and do that, because I knew I wanted to be a husband. I think I knew I wanted to be a husband and a father when I was really young. But like, I would also say like I would come to the chapel a lot here at SAV and just sit there and be with him and just try to like soak in his presence and try to be there. And then like also I was involved with youth ministry at the time here, so like Matt would always be like pray and pray some more. That was like one of his biggest, like that was like his mantra, like that he would say all the time to everyone. And so like I just remember just thinking like, if you're not like locked in with the Lord, like how in any way can I, being a core member at the time, or just in general, like give any of that to anyone who I'm trying to minister to? So that was a big motivation for me. And then obviously like a big way that I encountered the Lord personally myself is through just my guitar and singing. And so I would literally at home, we would just like sing, or I'd be in my own room and I would sing and just worship Jesus on my own. And yeah, I mean, I think that was some steps I would take. Well,
yeah, really quick. So many songs have come out of moments like that. That, you know, nobody will ever hear, maybe.
Right.
But like, I cherish those moments too, where we would just cry and play music together for hours, you know, and not, nobody knows about those times. Right. They're intimate to you and I. Sorry to go on this tangent.
No, it's okay.
I think that like, those moments are the glue of our relationship, you know? They're why we are so close. They're why we're on this podcast together.
Right. No, you know? Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
Anyways.
I love that.
Man, when I was single and I like really started thinking about Val, I was going to spiritual direction with a Franciscan friar. And that man changed my life. And he poured into me. He was stern. He beat me up a couple times, not physically, but
spiritually.
He spiritually slapped me in the face a couple of times.
The best beating up.
Spiritually slapped.
And just my spiritual direction was always held in the confessional. And something about being in that place, right? And post-confession, having even a deeper, almost like a post-confession examination of conscience, brought so much light to all these holes in my heart. And I remember thinking about starting to date Val and telling myself, like, I have nothing to offer this girl. You know, not to get super deep, but I was just like, I don't have anything to give you right now, you know, besides this, like, you know, that song Gratitude. Right, like all I have is this hallelujah, Jesus. Like I don't have anything else. Either. Like I'm sorry, Val. I don't have anything that can make you better right now. And I remember thinking that to myself, and I remember saying like, I'm gonna give you something, you know. I'm gonna create something in myself that will be of value to you that I can give you. So to me, it was pruning. It hurt. It was difficult. It was painful and long and stressful. And but I think that the pruning, right, really like actually was allowing me to create a fruit that was specific to Val. That was like the Lord was creating a fruit in me that only she could taste and that would only be sweet to her. And that like would only be special to us. It's only a fruit that her and I share, and it's what was cultivated in me before I was able to really jump into the relationship.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's beautifully said.
Thanks.
You're making me cry over here. That's a special fruit for the both of us.
She said, "I'm gonna send this to Gonzo later."
Jeez, sorry, Gonz.
What does your prayer look like now, as opposed to, you know, that single life? It's kind of hard. You guys both have a lot of kids and are working and doing ministry and all that stuff. What is that?
You know, I think Jeremiah just said a word that I think is true to or at least maybe true to this, maybe true to me right now. Maybe it was the word I needed to hear, the word of pruning. I think that like that is literally something that I would say. I don't know if I would speak for all dads in this or husbands, but I know for myself for sure that it's something that I think I've never stopped doing is like a pruning of myself. Consistent, like it hasn't stopped ever since like we've stepped into the vocation and in the discernment of the vocation. I think you said it really well right now, Jeremy, that it is a crucifixion type love, right? And that's the thing that like, so right now my prayer being a husband and a father is, again, that a prayer of like, remove me of me, Lord, like remove me of myself. Please help me remember like what you're calling me to, and but also like, I want to be a joyful dad and a joyful husband.
Yeah.
And I'm very short tempered and impatient in a lot of areas in my life. And I'm asking, my prayer is like, Lord, can you just prune that? Like, take that out of me so that my kids can experience a joyful father and my wife can experience a joyful husband. And so I think currently right now my prayer is very, Lord, just please, like, continue to, like, remove things from me that I need. Like, you know, like the operation game, right? And the operation.
I love that game.
Yeah. Like, I'm literally that game right now.
Yeah.
Like, just go in there and take those things out of me, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
I think personally right now where I'm at, that's kind of it. I want to be joyful and not just happy. I want to be joyful and that's it. I would say for me is that, Lord, make me joyful.
I love that.
Amen.
I also love, before we get to Jeremiah, what you said, you want to be happy. Or you want to be joyful, not just happy.
Yeah.
And that's like a really big thing that I ponder a lot is this. Yeah. Like, what is joy? Like, you can still be joyful in suffering, you know, versus like happiness is this like fleeting feeling, but joy has so much more to it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's there. It stands, you know, we see that like looking at what you said, like at the crucifix, the crucifixion type love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at it and we don't see like happiness there. I mean, like, you know, right. But we do see like, wow, like, because of what is to come, like there is joy in the crucifixion.
Exactly.
Because of the resurrection.
Yeah. Joy is also a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Joy is like a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a feeling, like you said. Happiness comes and goes. Joy is like, I'm choosing joy in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the scripture says, like, he put the table in front of me, in front of my enemies. Right, like in that darkness, Jesus is laying out a table for you and saying, like, sit down, you know? Like, whatever's going on, like, let's sit down and sit in this. I have this table and this meal prepared for you. Like, let's be joyful and talk, right? So I think that, like, that's the biggest difference for me as far as happiness and joy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just wanted to hit that before he moved on. Yeah, because it's always something I like to hit, because, I mean, we're not going to find that like lasting happiness like here on earth, like we're never gonna be satisfied in that way, you know, not on this side of heaven, but
right.
amen.
What about you? What is
right now? Our Blessed Mother is my
a queen.
Queens only.
I have clung to the rosary maybe in this past year, and I've been committed to it. I've held myself accountable to it. Definitely have failed, right? But I gave myself the goal of doing it every day for a year. I have not been successful, but I've been close, you know. And so
we're trying.
Our Blessed Mother I'll say that we actually have a relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually know her, right? And so. She's been pivotal.
Wow.
In my
that means like pivotal, is that a word?
Yeah. She,
pivotal.
Is that another language?
I know my words, y'all.
No, yeah, she's been pivotal in my conversion this year. You know.
Yeah.
Prayer also looks like very fast to me. Prayer to me right now is, hey, Jesus, take this from me. I'll talk to you later. You know, type of prayer. But I think that's it. It's very simple right now. There's nothing complex. It's very cutthroat, you know, dry. Not dry.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a personal question?
Absolutely.
You can answer if you don't. I mean, it doesn't matter.
She said if not, we can.
We can move on. But because you guys do pray with praise and worship, like, do you or have you ever gone through a season where you kind of were in, like, all right, like, I'm kind of not into this type of prayer anymore? Like, have you ever gone through a dry season with praise and worship?
Absolutely. I go through it all the time. Literally, like, there's seasons of my life throughout the year where I won't want any music at all in the car. I won't want a podcast. I won't want an audiobook. There's times where I just want silence. And, like,
interesting.
The silence is everything I need in that moment, you know? Music sometimes is like, you know, we get together to pray for the well, and I'll be like, I haven't listened to music all week. You know, I don't have any songs that I'm listening to. There's nothing on my heart right now that the Lord is placing for me. If anything, it's like a word.
Yeah. But,
you know,
you guys, because I know you mentioned, like, when you guys were starting, if you would pray in that way, was that something that you guys still do to this day? Is that a type of prayer that you guys, outside of the well?
Yeah. I mean, I still do that whenever I have time. Like, I literally bring my guitar out and I'll be in my living room or in my room. And I mean, it doesn't happen that much because obviously I have four kids and a whole bunch of other stuff to tend to.
Yeah.
But I do try to make it a priority of mine, at least maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, if I'm being honest, that way of prayer, form of praying with music. Also, like, yeah, so I definitely still do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I also feel the Lord the closest for me, is through music. So I'm actually very different. I don't think I go through, like, periods where I just want, like, silence. There's moments where there's moments where I'll accept silence. I don't think I seek it out as much as you might, Jeremy. But, like, yeah, that I still find time for it. Yeah, for sure.
Do you mind sharing, if you want to, like, how that looked for you after Ruben passed? And how long did it take for you to, like, get out of that dry season? Like, how did that look like for you? Because I know that's been a big part of your life. So he was a big part of your life. So having that taken away, obviously, it impacted the both of you.
Yeah. It just became something that was really hard because Ruben was obviously, like, the drummer to the band, but he was obviously a lot more than just that to a lot of people, but also to, like, specifically my brother and I. We literally, like, he literally was like my other little brother. And Ruben was very loyal. If you knew Ruben, you knew how loyal he was to the people he loved. And he would always tell me, like, Chilo, where you go, I'll go. And, like, and he meant that not just musically. I knew he meant that not just, like, as a drummer. Like, wherever you go, you can count on me to, like, be there and drum. But, like, in general, like that was something he would share a lot with me. And it was, like, a moment we would have. And so anytime I would pick up my guitar, you can do Stephanie, like, just holding my guitar, I couldn't even play it. Just holding it was too much for me. I couldn't take it out of where it was. And the crazy part is he passed in August and we had the well in September. And, like, you remember that well? We were at St. Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't. I said, I don't want to, like, lead worship, essentially. So I actually drummed that well, and it was on his set, and it was right after he had passed. And I literally remember maybe, like, 5 minutes before the well started, Jeremiah and I were in, like, the little kitchen area of that hall, and Sara, Ruben's sister, walked in. And we had a moment that I'll never forget, because the moment she came in there, and they were talking about his sister, family, right? Mm-hmm. Like his blood, her only sibling.
Yeah.
And she came in there, and the words that she gave my brother and I in that moment of like strength that was coming from her, while I'm sobbing and while he's sobbing and while she's sobbing, like, I'll never forget that moment. And she shared a lot of stuff with us then, but a lot of the words were like strength, and a lot of it was for like telling us we can do it, and telling us like, mm-hmm, he would want you guys to like do this and play. And Jeremiah led worship that night on guitar, and I drummed for him. But after that, like, it took me a while to pick up my guitar and play it, and then sing, because every time I started to, I would feel him. I'd feel Ruben's presence, and it would make me more emotional and make me remember about him not being here with us anymore like that. And so, yeah, it definitely was a good amount of time before I accepted it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that for me, it was, there's this feeling you get where I felt like I'd be letting him down if I stopped, or like if I quit.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm, his heart was always about praise and worship, dude.
He was, so just the dynamic of a band is like the drummer and the bass player are like
they have to be super tight musically. Musically, in a band, if we're just speaking, like, the bass and the drummer have to be like the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not really, but you know what I mean. Like, they have to be that
in
tight.
In sync.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, obviously, Jeremiah was our bass player and Ruben was our drummer.
You know, to give a little context, Ruben is probably, you know, this is going to sound really sad, but I don't really have much friends. It's intentional that I don't.
Yeah, right?
But, like we said, Ruben was a brother. He was the only other person besides my actual brother that I would talk to every day, mm-hmm, right? Man, I miss that guy. He changed my life, right? And so to have that taken or gone all of a sudden left like a really huge, a large amount of emptiness in me that I'd say still exists.
For sure.
You know?
I don't think it'll ever not.
But it's, it's only a place that Ruben could fill in my heart. But like, he's still there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
For me, what was difficult was, speaking of Sara, right? Ruben's sister, they also had a family band. Ruben, his mom, his dad, and his sister. And she gave me the bass that she used when he passed. And she told me that she didn't want to play anymore because it would be too difficult for her. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, like, I don't want to play anymore either. And, you know, those encouraging words that Chilo was talking about, they were just like, if Ruben wanted anybody to do it, it would be you guys. And that gave us our own type of pressure. Not that she meant it that way, but there was this underlying motivation, I guess, motive to do it. I went to the cemetery every day for maybe like a month straight. And, you know, I had to baptize my son while he was in the hospital. You know,
I remember,
like,
that. Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to stand in proxy for him. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, moments like that are things I think about that, like, I wonder if he'd be upset at me about, or, you know, that he was upset that, or like that he wouldn't think that I thought he would come out of that hospital room, you know, that I was too impatient to wait for him. But I know that he knows my heart, you know, and like, we could talk about him forever.
The one thing I remember after he passed was, I mean, we didn't hear the drums for a while, like even like on retreat, and there was no drummer. And David would say like, it's missing like the heartbeat, like that he was like the heartbeat of like the, essentially, of the band when they would play, you know, just was crazy. Yeah. When somebody else stood in, I think years after, or like a year after he passed, and we're like, it was,
It was just weird. It wasn't the same, like, without him there, but...
No, Ruben was for sure the heart, dude. Like, Ruben was for sure, like, because we'd be at practice, and, like, we'd all be, like, having our own opinions on certain directions to go with this song, or, like, disagreements on certain things, and then, like, Ruben would be quiet the whole time, and then we'd be like, Ruben, what do you think, bro? Or what do you... Like, what side are you on this, bro? And he'd be like, can we just pray? And he would always bring us back to why, to the why.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, yeah. So Ruben was for sure him. He was for sure the heart. Like, if Ruben wasn't at an event, it wasn't going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Not just because our drummer was missing or whatever. Like, the beat isn't going to be there. But like, it just wasn't going to be the same because Ruben was the spirit of Three More. Like, for real, the heart. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you guys saw, like, the front of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have so many times where he's like shown up for us, or he was the only one with the truck.
You know, I'm dead. Yeah, they come in clutch.
Yeah. Right.
Shout out to Panda.
Shout out Boo Boo.
Yeah. All you have a truck.
All y'all with truck, shout out.
Yeah.
Making us cry.
I'm sorry. I didn't know Ruben that well. Those little encounters that I had with him, it was special. Such a great guy. His heart was so big and welcoming to anybody. He just made himself available.
Yeah. The most, like, humble being. There's no other. Yeah, I don't know a bigger heart.
Yeah. So, rest in peace, Ruben.
Yeah.
Pray for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. Please, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned, like, you didn't want to, keep doing praise and worship, right? Like, for a certain point, like, am I still, like, called to do this? We have a lot of friends who are, talking about praise and worship, they are, like, musically talented. But even, like, for anyone who has a gift, mm-hmm. right, and they're too scared to use it, they're too scared to, like, you know, like, oh, like, somebody else can do it. Like, uh-huh. What would you say to that? And, like, encouraging people to use the gift that God has given them.
I'll admit that I think that we were blessed to have these gifts, and we were made known of the gifts very early on in our lives, that at some point it became routine, like, mm-hmm. practice. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because it got to a point where it was like who I was, right? I was this gift. I was this bass player. I was this singer. Mm-hmm. That being said, when that gift wasn't received well, or when it wasn't affirmed, it killed me, right?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the times, you know, even with the well, we get people that approach us and be like, hey, can we join? Can we, you know, do you guys need backup? Do you guys need? And to be very frank, we're very particular about who leads worship, and not in a sense that we're better or that we're the best.
No, yeah.
But, you know, it's just like not anybody can just walk into this church mm-hmm. and preach.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Like, yeah. They need faculties and stuff. Yeah.
They need letters, right? They need to be they need to be backed by a priest. Yeah. They need mm-hmm. right. And so we kind of take that same seriousness. Now, the gifts, I would say if you're gifted, and you'll know if you are, But if you're gifted, I would say not to forget about the giver, mm-hmm. right? Jesus is the giver of the gift. When it comes to praise and worship, right? And I've given this advice to people who have come up to me and asked about, like, how to lead worship. I recently learned, and this is very recent for me, maybe like a year or year and a half. But if you can't lead yourself into worship, then I would say hold off. Right. If you can't get yourself to that place, the Holy of Holies, where Jesus is alone, if you can't lead yourself into that place, then maybe it's still a time for you to wait and be patient.
Yeah.
I couldn't lead myself to that holy place with Jesus until, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
Right. But again, it's a
going back to scripture, right? It's about doing things in the dark room, in that place where only you and Jesus are. And Jesus will plant that seed, and Jesus will water it and cultivate it, and he will do the pruning in that room, mm-hmm. right? And when it's ready to be received by other people, the fruit will be ripe.
That was well said.
Yeah, that was really well said. Like, it's, don't do it for, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I'm hearing like, don't do it for the wrong reasons. Like, if you can't get yourself into that worship, that prayer, that moment with like the holies of holies with God, like, then what are you doing it for?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a,
like your intentions with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's about the, am I doing this because I want people to hear me?
Right.
Or am I doing this because I want to lead people to that place with Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, am I doing this because, you know, I want affirmation in my art? Or am I doing this because it's leading people to the cross? It's leading people to a reflection with Jesus. It's leading people to a conversation, an encounter, right? How can we lead people to Jesus and have them forget about us because of how captivated they are with that encounter? You know, that they forget about how they got there because of how in love they are with that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's about the giver, not the gift.
Yeah. Amen.
Go ahead, Chilo. Sorry.
even just people in general who might not have a gift in like other things other than praise and worship, right? Like, it's the same thing. It's the same concept. Like, I think what I would tell people is, like, usually whatever gift you have is usually the calling God put on your life. And so, like, if you're like really good at like explaining things and like breaking things down for people to understand,
mm-hmm.
like, you might be a good preacher. Like, the calling on your life might be like to preach or to teach, right? Or, and even then, like, the cool thing is, and just to kind of like, I guess piggyback off what Jeremiah was saying is like, yeah, with any gift, just like with any talent, it needs to be worked out, and mm-hmm. it needs to be worked on, and it needs to be pruned, and it needs to be like, you need to try it so that you can learn and grow from it next time. And like, one thing that I've shared with people that I try to talk to, or like specifically Brian, since we're talking about Brian earlier, who's someone that I'm walking with, one thing I shared with him is like, excuse this analogy, but it's a sports one. But like, this is how I share, and I say, like, with LeBron James, okay?
LeBron James.
LeBron, we only see the fruit of his work ethic. We don't see, like, there's no cameras when he's like waking up in the morning and doing his morning workout routine, when he's in the gym, when he's working on his jump shots. Like, mm-hmm. no one's watching that. He's doing all of that in secret, and mm-hmm. we only see the fruit of all the work he does in secret. Mm-hmm. We only see it on game day when it's on ESPN, when he's put on the Lakers uniform, right? Like we see the fruit of this man's work in the dark, what he does when no one's watching. And for anyone, you need to work on your gift when no one's watching. You need to be in that place with the Lord, so whenever your name gets called, like, hey, we need a talk on this done real quick, like, and you go up there and you give a talk on something, like, all we'll see is just the fruit of your relationship with the Lord. Your gift shouldn't be your relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Your gift is always fruit of your relationship with the Lord. And I think that is what people need to understand. And I'm preaching to myself too. Like,
yeah.
Like, me doing praise and worship should not be my relationship with Jesus. It should be the fruit of my relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, work on your gift in that sense. And if it's what you're called to, like, the Lord's not only going to keep rewarding you with it, but he'll also turn it into an anointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a difference between like worship and anointed worship, you know? And there's gifts that the Holy Spirit pours out that are specific to in our world, I guess, worship leaders, you know? So yeah, it should come from the overflow.
Yeah, I think that's key.
That was well said.
I know. Damn. I have no words.
Yeah.
I have no words.
Like, anyways, next subject.
No, that was just yeah. I know. I have nothing else to add to that. Yeah. Thank you for the wisdom. Yeah. In everything that you guys said. It was just crazy because, I mean,
I'm going to ponder
with
that.
Yeah, you guys aren't just like worship leaders, you know, like you do, like in you talking about all these things, like we do get to see a glimpse of, you know, putting in the work, you know?
Right.
We're here. We're all striving for the same thing.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, and just a side note, trust that if Jesus told us to stop, we would, you know, mm-hmm. we wouldn't keep going if Jesus yeah. made it evident that this is no longer what he wants.
Yeah. I love yeah. when you say, you talk about that every well. Yeah. So if you want to talk about really quick what the well is and invite people to it, this is like, you know, we're the reaching plug. The end, the plug, yeah. what plug you have.
The shameless plug.
Mm-hmm, the shameless plug.
Yeah.
The well is a ministry that, you know, I wouldn't even say is projected towards young adults anymore. You know,
no, you just got to be out of high school and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Literally.
Just come. Yeah, just come. The well is a ministry that sprouted
drastically.
Yeah.
Yeah. To God be all the glory. It sprouted out of the dryness that COVID brought the church. And the well just became this spring of life, I think, to a lot of people that were in a season of drought.
Yeah. Yeah.
The well is very simple. It's worship and maybe like a small keynote talk and the sacraments and Jesus. You know, it's we try to keep things very simple. It's worship, a talk, confessions, a holy hour, and community.
Literally the best thing.
It happens every first Friday of the month. We church hop, so we go from place to place.
He said roaming Catholic.
Yeah.
roaming Catholic.
We roam.
Yeah, which is good. Everyone.
And you know, it's kind of like a word of mouth type thing. You know, we don't do much.
Yeah, you don't.
We don't do much promo. No,
we you don't. Just know.
Yeah,
it's
literally.
First Friday. The
yeah.
well.
Yeah, every first
where?
Friday of the month.
Where? That's
yeah,
the question.
Yeah,
that's
where?
It, yeah. To God be all the glory that we have a consistent following. But it still stuns us that we have new people at every well.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a bunch.
And,
like,
you know, mm-hmm. even at the retreat that we had, I'd say like 95% of the people there yeah, were not people we knew.
We went yeah. and we're like, who are these people?
To God be all the glory, right?
Like, yeah.
Those things are happening every first Friday where there's new faces and new encounters and the stories that we get like DM to us or
I love that.
Shared our thing. So if you're anywhere in Arizona,
they're gonna go up north next.
Yeah,
hey.
I mean, hey, if Jesus says so, right?
Yeah, if he said, yeah.
Just kidding, guys. I'm not spreading rumors.
Just to clarify, yeah,
I just met NAU and flagged up. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but for sure, if you are, you know, in the Valley area or whatever, like, you are more than welcome at the well. It'll be the first Friday, like my brother shared. So June, the first Friday in June is, I think, the 7th. June 7th,
yes,
right?
Yes, June
7th. June? What are
mm-hmm.
we?
Yeah, June
7th.
Yeah.
June 7th.
Where?
That is to be announced.
Okay.
I'm gonna read self shameless plug here, like you talk about. You can follow us on Instagram
mm-hmm.
at the well Phoenix. The well
at the
PHX.
No so, more underscore.
No, we changed it.
Oh shoot,
I saw that.
Yeah,
I
so it's saw at
that. Rebrand
the well PHX. And we usually announce on our Instagram about a week or two before the next first Friday. Where it's gonna be
beautiful.
So that's kind of it. We literally just like post. We literally post maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah,
and the Lord does the rest of the work.
Amen.
And I think that's like the beauty of it is when you know it's His. We just like.
Also, there's so much freedom in that. Like, it's yours,
100%,
Lord.
100%. Yeah.
Like, this is all you.
Know
this is wherever you want
yeah.
it to be next.
I think
that's
it was
not
Pope,
on me.
I think it was Pope John the 23rd. Pope John the 23rd, who said, this is one of my favorite quotes ever by any like any person in the world. Pope John, I could be wrong, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Pope John the 23rd. He said, God, it's your church. I'm going to sleep.
Yes. Boom. That's been a prayer of mine recently. Right,
God, it's your church.
I'm going
church.
To sleep, Lord.
I'm going to go to sleep. This is your church. Exactly.
This is your people. Yep. I'm going to bed.
Yep. And I think that's the approach with the well. It's like, Lord, this is yours. We're just going to post once a month.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's so much freedom in itself. Like, all right. Peace for right now.
Yeah.
Till the next morning.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So come out. We normally have Kaya there. So coffee.
Shout amazing out Kaya coffee.
Shout
so
out
good. Kaya
coffee. Shout out Churros on Lencho as well. Churros on Lencho. Oh. Shout out them always.
Were they there? Oh, no, they
were there 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But Kaya is with churros. Us every month normally.
Yeah. Kaya is a Catholic coffee company started by our friends. Actually, Kevin, who was in the band with us.
Yes.
Kaya stands for Come As You Are. So a little shameless plug for them.
Love that.
Yeah, and it's community after. We normally have people staying. I mean, I normally leave the well around 11:30 midnight, and sometimes we still got to kick people out, you know? So
you're more than welcome. They were quick to kick us out this past Friday. They said, all right, guys, got to go.
Yeah, the maintenance crew came in, and they're like, get out of here.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do, yeah.
I said noted for next time when it's here. I'll be like, all right, guys, maintenance there, you know, maintenance here.
Yeah.
I'm maintenance.
Yep.
But it's amazing, the fellowship after, because you just see people,
it is dope.
Seeing people you haven't seen in forever. Yeah. Been there since day one.
It's a whole community, man. Yeah. That's what I love about it. It's the whole community.
Been there since day one, literally.
Yeah, we've had a ton of stories, you know, and so it's been good.
That's cute. We posted up couches thinking it was going to be like 20 people.
Yeah, I know.
Day one? Night one?
Night one, yeah.
December 3rd or 4th, 2020.
We prepped for 20. Approximately
like, I don't
30.
Think that many people are gonna come.
And then 50 showed up later.
Yeah. I remember Father Paul coming up.
We all said.
And we're like, because the COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, like we're over. 2020, we are over right? Capacity. 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2020.
We said, oops, sorry. Yeah, go to the well, y'all. Catch us there.
Catch us at the well, yeah.
Yeah, Delilah and Esme come.
Yeah. We do.
Shout out.
We drive all the way to the East Valley. So when it's at the West Valley, you East folks people better come.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said it.
Mm-hmm. I said what I said.
Yeah. She said what she said. Shout out to Dramatic Catholic for coming out to the well all the time. Y'all, ooh, y'all host support. At Dramatic Catholic.
Thank you.
For being here.
Thank you. Talking about dramatic, do we have time for... Just
for
one
last question?
Yeah. Okay. Shoot.
What does it mean to you to be a dramatic Catholic?
First word that pops in my mind would be like radical.
Yeah.
I think that's what Steph said. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think
said,
that's the word Steph
he's
said.
Like, I change it.
Hold
change
on.
It.
No, but.
You guys are one, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, her answer.
Yeah.
I already answered this question when Steph answered it, just so you guys know. No, I would say radical because. It's going against the grain, man. I mean, it's going mm-hmm. against what society's teaching and trying to preach and shove down everyone's throat right now.
Mm-hmm.
And staying true to truth is mm-hmm. is like so radical and dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you make a true statement and drama will start. You know
facts.
What I'm saying?
I love
literally.
That.
And but again, like it's just so good. I would say radical. Being dramatic, a dramatic Catholic right now in this world is 100% being radical, in my opinion.
Well said.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, when you asked that question, I just saw Peter in my head, and it took me back to the time when Jesus is introducing the Eucharist, right? Mm-hmm. And he just fed the is it 5,000? And he starts to preach to them saying, like, this is my body. If you want to leave now.
Yeah.
And, like, tons of people leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12 apostles are there. And Jesus is like, are you going to leave? And Peter says, where would we go, Jesus?
You know,
where
sassy
else would
Jesus.
I go? Right? There's like this, almost like this sass of like, Jesus, you know we believe in you. Why would I leave? You know? I think that so many of us forget what Jesus has done in our lives, that it's easy for us to click on and off. They're like, I'm leaving, Jesus. You're not really doing much right now. Instead of remembering what we've seen, I think what it means to be dramatic is to remember that you are, by grace, breathing.
you know, and every breath is a gift. So even to explain this is dramatic, because to be dramatic is to be completely 100% sold out and telling Jesus, like, I have nowhere else to go. I've already said yes to you and I'm not taking it back. So in any way that I can exaggerate that or make it bigger than it is, I will, because that's all you deserve.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Dramatic Catholics.
Dramatic Catholics.
Thank you for, again, for dropping bombs.
Wisdom. So good. Wisdom. You know,
words of
Sheila
wisdom.
Sheila wisdom, Jeremiah wisdom.
Mm-hmm. A gift.
The Salinas wisdom.
The Salinas wisdom.
Can I just take a moment to affirm you guys?
If you want.
I said, please do.
Please. Go ahead. No, don't.
Please stop.
Please stop.
I think that, you know, Esme, you and I think we've had moments, right? And Delilah, I've told you that I'm looking forward to the times that we do, right? But I just have this, I just feel it in my heart that you guys need to hear that you guys are, like, making an impact and that you guys are doing something that's really good, and that whatever season you're going through, I think that Jesus has you, you know, exactly where he wants you, as difficult and as confusing and as stressful as it is. I hope that you guys understand that whatever you're doing right now is for the glory of Jesus, whether you feel it or not, and that it's going to pay off, you know?
Yeah.
You will, you know, Jesus is clapping his hands and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, to you both. So this podcast has been very successful, and it's only because you guys have cultivated a gift behind doors that Jesus is using to bring his kingdom glory, you know? So I give you your flowers, you know, and
thank you. Esme's crying. I know.
Esme's crying, everyone. Esme's crying.
Just
being a little dramatic right now. Well.
No, but really, thank you. Yeah, when Val told me, she was like, you know who's a really big fan of your podcast? I was like, who? She's like, Jeremiah. And I was like, what? I was flattered. Yes.
Shout out to Dramatic Catholics. Yeah. Keep being dramatic.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, to piggyback off of that, you guys are feeding me. You know?
I'm not okay.
I needed to hear that.
Thank you.
I'm being evangelized by you both. You know?
Thank you.
So thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Shout out to SJV.
SJV for life.
SJV for life.
Shout out.
With that being said, it's your turn to end closing prayer.
That's true. I started.
Yeah, he started and you're going to end it.
Yeah.
So thank
you. First player, second player.
Story of my life. Wow. I was always the blue controller on the PlayStation. You know?
I'm the blue controller too.
Yeah, that was me.
It's a younger sibling thing. My sister was the blue controller.
I choose the blue controller willingly.
You're right.
So you say. Yeah. So
you say. You bore that cross willingly?
I did. Go ahead and close us with prayer.
Go ahead.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak a spirit of joy over us here, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would follow us home. Jesus, I thank you for what you've done in us, for these memories, for the gift of this podcast, for the gift of community, for the gift of memories. And Jesus, I pray that whoever listens to it, to this podcast, would feel challenged to love you more, that there would be a seed planted in the hearts that might have a little bit of dry soil. Lord, I pray that you would increase any gifts that you've poured out onto us. But even more, Lord, I ask that you would release new ones, that we would see your presence in new ways. We would come to know you and glorify you in ways that we never thought we could imagine. Mother Mary, wrap us in your mantle. Protect us. Cradle us. Saint Michael, send your fleet. Let there be two soldiers at every door, covering every car, every conversation, that we would get home safely.
And by the blood of the cross, I wash us down from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. And I rebuke anything that is not of Jesus to leave us right now. We give you all the glory, Lord, and all the praise. In your holiest name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In
the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you.
All right, guys. This is a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Thank you guys again. And we'll see you next time on.
Ooh, can you sing it?
Dramatic.
Yeah, do a jingle.
You sing it.
Yeah?
You sing it, bro.
Do it together. Are you shy?
We just don't know what melody to use.
Oh,
you know?
I don't know. Oh, sorry.
We'll see you guys next on Dramatic Catholics. And cut.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
That's it. That's a wrap. That's so weird.